The subject matter contained in this presentation is based on biblical principles and designed to give you accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is provided with the understanding that neither the presenter nor the broadcaster is engaged to render legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Since your situation is fact-dependent, you may wish to additionally seek the services of an appropriately licensed legal, accounting, real estate, or investment professional.
No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, what are we to eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what are we to wear? All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil.
This is Medjanomics with a friend of Medjugorje.
Tonight's broadcast comes to us from February the 4th, 2010. Now, everyone who has been involved in Medjugorje at some point in time gets a little bit off frequency, and it's important to go back and be regrounded in the right philosophy and the right way of thinking. These earlier Medjanomics broadcasts, a friend of Medjugorje gave us a lot of understanding of the message and how to read the message and how to read the world events based on the messages. Tonight, a friend of Medjugorje is going to share with us a very basic philosophy about the economy and debt, grounded in the messages. Towards the end of the broadcast, a friend of Medjugorje is going to give a revelation of something that he had never given up to this point, which is now common knowledge, but at the time had never been told before. So here is a friend of Medjugorje, February the 4th, 2010.
Well, it's Thursday, and as usual, we're doing what our lady asked to do. This is living the message for those who've listened to the Bible verse our lady Christus gave, which was just read. And at the end of the program, I want to reveal something about that that's really phenomenal. It's the first time I've seen it anywhere that we announced something after 28 years of apparitions. It's pretty awesome. But we'll do that toward the end, so we'll keep you in a little suspense till that time, but it's very exciting to know about it. And it's to do with our lady, as always. Our Lady didn't say to read Matthew 6 and these verses without something she's trying to point to, that there's been a tree growing that's very, very bad in its fruit. To bring this down to the common man, the working man, and even the man that's out there, a businessman, a corporate owner, this system is really a system, what Our Lady said, June 25th, 1989, Satan has special plans to enslave you to materialism. Materialism is bought through purchase. These purchases today, all the way down to a sofa, it's financed, and now even sofas or couches, you can see for people who least can afford it, you don't have to pay any payment until next year. You'll see advertisements like this. There's an old saying my dad used to, he was raised in a coal mining camp, and many of the older people know this, but the younger don't, but the coal mine would put a store, because obviously when the coal miners got off their long hours of work, they had to go to the store. The store was owned by the company. And the saying was, the company store owns your soul, because they pay stuff at a higher price, and basically they got it rigged where all your wages goes back to the company store. So the company pays you, then you pay the store, and it's just this vicious circle of poverty that you're locked into. And so Our Lady said this, Satan has special plans to save you to materialism. You go borrow the money, you're never able to get ahead, and you stay in debt. The way to get out of this, how do you escape that? There's only one way. And now there's new regulations coming up to choke us down when we want to do a project. So even if you can pay for it, there's things blocking us now. There's a convergence of evil. I just read this morning of a report of the Pentagon opening up the military to abomination, total abomination, sickening. But the word they used, or what I read this morning, was fiat. One of the Pentagon, main Pentagon official, along with Secretary of Defense Gates, they gave a fiat yes to this. They're violating the law, just like violating the law of changing and debasing currency, unconstitutional. This is not unconstitutional, and yet nobody's objecting to this. At least I haven't seen something. But it's incredible. What has that got to do with money? It's the convergence of evil and everything. And everything is tied to money. So even this has some connection. How do you escape from this? Well, we read one testimony. It shows that enforces this, and it's get out of debt. So all these things may be unrelated. What is this on Imaginomics for? It's all to give you and inspire you to realize you've got to get out of debt if you got to live in a tent. Get out of debt and slowly build a hut, and from a hut, build a little house. It can be done. The debt thing is the slavery. It's the chains that you shackle yourself with, and you'll never be able to do anything while you're in debt. And even if you're comfortable, the system is coming down, and that little liability you may have can pull down everything else you have if it's devalued. I was reading about housing right now that actually, this was on a preacher was preaching about it, about the morality of this is wrong, that you have people doing what they call strategic foreclosure. In other words, you just walk away because your house that you bought was $300,000, now only worth $75,000, and you just walk away from it. He was saying, morally, you can't do that. You got to fulfill your obligations. There's ways that they're offering now short closings on the house, but still. So your liability, where you had assets and you have suddenly you have deficits and you have debt because of that, because it deflated. So you see how the liability. Many people could be uncomfortable out there. And you don't know what your house is going to value. In fact, people were wrong and in sin without realizing it, a sin of ignorance, in buying their house and then build assets to go buy another house. Maybe a house is that way, but a home's not. My home, when I built it, was my home. I called it a live-and-die home. When I was in business, I told people, is this a live-and-die house? They'd ask me, what are you talking about? I said, in other words, did you build this house to die here? No. Well, then don't do this much upgrade to it. But I was amazed at this. I was amazed at talking to a 60-year-old, just built a house, put it there. Were you going to die here? Well, we don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You just got a place you stay. It's not what that is about. There's people out there that say, they don't say where you live. They say, where you stay. Because you might stay there tomorrow, and tomorrow you might not stay there later. This is absurd. Where's the proper mentality? Where's biblical principle of putting your roots down, finding a place? Well, I don't know my job, my transfers. But because you've participated into a system that has enslaved you. But if you got loose from that, you wouldn't be in a position where it's going to force you to go here or go there. You'd build up a little bit, and you say, okay, I find a higher-paying job in Michigan. It's the unions, which is all going down the tubes now. But why not have more, making less, by paying as you go, have a house paid for, a little plot of land, whatever, and have the richness of life. Who's better off? Somebody trying just to make more to have more? Or somebody's got everything paid for and they sleep good and have no anxiety at night? All this is, again, philosophy you need to start basing your decision on, and to get free from this system that Satan's building and what's the currency being debased to mean nothing, to change. Joan, just read this one testimony. It shows you this, that people waking up to realize what they have to do.
We don't have and never will have credit cards ever again. Why, you might ask? At least a lot of our family and friends do. Because we have found security and trust in God for the provision of all our needs. We have learned that getting a hold on your attitude is the number one factor in being victorious over your finances. We now tell the money where to go instead of it guiding us around and making us slaves to others, such as student loans and credit card companies. In gaining a newfound respect and understanding of what we have been given, we have come to acknowledge and take responsibility for the money God has blessed us with. We had to face our debt and our desires and become better stewards of our possessions and income. We don't have to have a false sense of security in our credit cards anymore. We've been good stewards and have real security because of our habits and perseverance. Sacrifice has had its place in our budgeting wants and desires, but it is completely worth it. We remind ourselves that delaying a purchase doesn't mean we will never have it. Trusting God, timing, patience, and preparation are everything, though, when it comes to gaining financial peace.
And this is a testimony of actually, he's made a point in there that doesn't mean, because we can't get it now, doesn't mean we can't have it. In fact, you'll get those things quicker by not borrowing. I know this reminds me of when we were building our house for 8 years, and I lived in that house. We built it like we wanted to. And when we got within a couple of years of finishing, or actually within a year of finishing, although we thought it was still 2-3 more years, I bought heavy pieces of equipment. I bought several heavy pieces of equipment. My philosophy was, like the Amish say, you know, many a fine barn built a fine house. I knew that fine barn was the business and the equipment. And we actually made enough money in the next 6 months to finish the house within 12 months, when it was at least 3 years away, by buying this piece of equipment. So by not borrowing and buying the proper things and those things that helped you or helped me in that situation, I advanced my ability to do what I did much quicker. So you retard yourself by meeting self-gratification and immediate gratification. You hurt yourself. Delayed gratification, you end up with more. And we've talked about a study done about that. You've got a question.
This term fiat, that word has always been the word that is associated with Our Lady. You always talk about Our Lady's fiat. And I just think it's interesting that this word is coming up more and more. Our Lady's fiat was her total submission to the will of God and what he was requesting of her. I remember you coining this phrase oppositing years ago, where Satan takes something of God and reverses it for his own. He like steals something from God and reverses it for his evil. That this fiat that's being said through this fiat money or this fiat program with the military is this yes to Satan's system, or he's taken this from our, and in particular, it's a strike against Our Lady.
This is exactly true. That in fact, you never heard the public or read or see the word visionary for the first 10 years at least of Medjugorje. It was not a word that people used. It wasn't out there in the daily basis contact. I've watched words. I've been very sensitive to that because the words, the message of Our Lady. And then suddenly everybody starts using visionary. And I remember when I first started hearing it, and it was too mundane, because when you heard visionary, you thought of the six visionaries. Anywhere, whether it be in the news, whether it be on TV, this is what you thought of. But now the visionary who's the architect, we won't be able to connect that. But I distinctly remember there was a total absence of that word. It wasn't used. It wasn't that it doesn't exist. It just didn't people use it. You see it everywhere now. And it is Satan's plans.
You've been listening to A Friend to Medjugorje from February the 4th, 2010. And as we conclude the broadcast tonight, A Friend to Medjugorje will now reveal something that until this time, until this point in time, had never been revealed before. And those in the Medjugorje world now understand this and now know it. But as of February 2010, this had never been revealed by anyone anywhere. And so here is A Friend of Medjugorje from February 2010 concluding the broadcast and giving us a major revelation.
I want to read something. It says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among men, all men, most richly blessed. That's wealth. how many people envy those who may have things, and really what makes you your wealth. And so Our Lady's trying to get us to do this, to understand this by reading Matthew 6. And do not think it's wasted time to submit yourself to any influence that might bring upon you noble feelings. Our Lady's message is that influence. There's nothing else to be involved with. There's no other ministry to be involved with. You say, oh, well, all these good ministries. That's not in question how good they are. But we've got something that's on the front burner. What do you want to be involved in? And what is it saying? Which brings to the conclusion of what Our Lady, I said I wanted to reveal something about Our Lady and what we've discovered that we didn't know. And it's incredible. I remember reading years ago about the Jews that they blocked the scriptures, how they wrote it. And every letter would be above another letter, how they wrote it, and blocked it. And you can go sideways and it would reveal something to them. You can go backwards at another diagonal angle and through these letters, and it would mean something. That they believed everything in scriptures had this kind of thing, whether it be mathematically, the way the sequences worked up. And Our Lady's got prophetic things. Still in these apparitions, after 28 years, we know she came the first day with that. And we don't even know. We just now discover. So the first time, and somebody just brought this to my attention in the community, but as soon as I heard it, this was thundered to me. It was just said happened chance. But this is huge, huge. Because Our Lady said, August 5th, 1986, read each Thursday the Gospel of Matthew where it said, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. On March 1st, 1984, to Yellen, she says, each Thursday read again the passage of Matthew 6, 24, 34, before the most blessed sacrament. And so we have this, so we're reading this every Thursday. And now, after 28 years, it's revealed to us for the first time. You know, Our Lady laid something in this because this is obviously so important, so critical to everything we're doing and understanding and living by. And look what it says. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. So she wanted this especially read. That is Matthew 6, 24. 6, 24. What was the first apparition? What was this day? Amazing. Is that not shocking? It's so prophetic. We're living something so prophetic. And I've never read this anywhere. I've never heard it anywhere. It's amazing how come we haven't discovered this. Well, we quit reading the Thursday, Matthew 6, years ago, two decades ago. They stopped. You know, they began it for a few years, and Paris used to read it. Nobody reads it now. So here it is. We revive this. Nobody else is doing this. We want to inspire everybody else to do this. And Our Lady comes and reveals this to us to reveal it to you. This should be an impulse that you spread this to everywhere and say, go on, listen to Magenomics today. Our Lady, when you follow her, she'll reveal things that's unforeseen, things that you don't know. And to me, this is an earthquake in the Medjugorje movement. This should move through the whole movement from this point forward. And those who understand it will. And so you follow her, she shows things. I know we talked on our show the other night on the second of the month that somebody said we don't need to comment on the message. Well, then you don't need to know that 624, Matthew 624, especially she says, that's the verse, 24 is where, well, let me read you 24. Just the verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's verse 24. That's chapter 6. That's June 24th. That's an amazing thing. So we don't need to comment on that. So you see the narrowness of the mentalities of people out there? We do need to comment. We need to study it. Our life is the message. We're putting this Thursday show on because we think it's critically important. And now Our Lady comes and feeds us information to give to you. It's exciting. Medjugorje itself is exciting. To get yourself out of debt and see what you can start doing is tremendously exciting. We just want to end with the thought that about the greatest apparitions on earth. And there's three reasons for that is Our Lady is, for 28 years, has given apparitions every single day. That's never happened before in church history. Our Lady, secondly, said she would give messages never before in the history of the world. And thirdly, these are the last apparitions on earth. And Our Lady said that, and that's documented. So that puts this in a magnitude of something the world's never seen before. And for Our Lady to tell us to read Matthew 6, particularly 6:24, you cannot serve God and mammon, she actually quoted that verse to some degree, a small degree. The fact that that is, and she comes on 6:24, June, and that's the 24th day, the 6th month, it is incredible. And it can leave us speechless. And so we just think of these things And it makes us, it gives us an impulse to go to the messenger and do what she says. So until next week, we want to say goodbye. We wish you Our Lady.